In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Good morning. Good morning, our first communicants. It's good to see you today. Are you excited to make your first Holy Communion? You sure? Okay, you can smile a little bit bigger than that, not just like this. The Lord is giving you a great grace today to be able to make your first Holy Communion. And what is the significance of this particular day? Isn't this is a day out of the entirety of the church year that we're called to focus on Christ under one title. Do you know what that is? Lori knows. She put her hand up for just a second. I'll give you a hint. The scripture passage today begins, "I am the good shepherd, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Our Lord puts to you and I that he wants to be known under one particular title today. Do you know what that title is? I gave you a hint. Did you say it, Mireya? El buen pastor, is that what I heard you say? No, that wasn't you. That wasn't you. Well, that's right. The good shepherd. Who is a shepherd? Who is a shepherd to his flock, to his sheep? What is a shepherd to his flock and to his sheep? Absolutely everything. Absolutely everything. That's what the shepherd is to his sheep. He's their life. Without the shepherd, are the sheep going to last very long in the wild? They don't got real good defenses, do they? How do the sheep know where to go to get good food? That's right, they follow the sheep. They follow the shepherd. And when a wolf comes by and tries to steal and to kill and to destroy them, who is it who protects them? The shepherd does. The shepherd protects them in all these things. Where Lord Jesus, what he wants you and I to be able to do, all of us, is to look at the good Lord as a good shepherd. That's what he wants to be known as a good shepherd. That's who our Lord desires to be. But the good shepherd is, that is our Lord, he doesn't just want to love. He doesn't just want to feed. He doesn't just want to guard his sheep. He wants to do something more than that. He's one who also gives up his own life for his sheep. What do you think, Ryan? Whose life is more valuable? A shepherd or one of the little sheep? You say a little sheep. Well, ask somebody else. Who is more valuable? A human being or a little tiny sheep? Who's more valuable? Your older brother or your older sister or a little tiny sheep? I'm not saying which one you'd rather play with. That's right. Obviously, a human being. There's no shepherd in all of existence, unless he's just crazy, that would ever lay down his life for one of his sheep. The trade isn't equal. Do you know what? God, your shepherd, Jesus Christ, he's so madly in love with you that he gives up his life for you as a sheep. And that's the foundation upon which the whole of our church is set up for here. It's founded upon that. It says in Isaiah 53, Isaiah always talks about Jesus. He's always talking about the Lord. And what he says there in Isaiah 53, verse 6, he says, "We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned our own way." This is something for your parents, but there's a man by the name of Old Blue Eyes, Frank Sinatra. He did a song. He said, "I did it my way." Well, that's the song, theme song of every person who misses out on heaven and chooses to go to hell because they choose to do it their way instead of God's way. Each one of you and I, we've wandered from the flock. How many of you have gone to confession? Only my first communicants. What does that say about the rest of you? You've gone to confession. And when you went to confession, did you leave stronger or weaker? Did you leave beat up and bruised and attacked? Or do you leave, "All right, I'm doing well"? That's right, you're nodding really heavily. You're smiling really big. Because you know that's the way our Lord deals with us. He, in his great compassion, what he wants to do, even when we wandered from the fold, sheepfold, and gotten lost in the dark valley of sin, our Lord Jesus, in his compassion, his love for you is so much that he wishes to even go into your darkness. Even in places which are lost and which are scary. And he wants to take such much better care of you and I that he will enter into the places that are dark and scary for you and I, into our sufferings. He's not afraid of that. In his compassion, he goes there. It says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 and 25, Everina gave it for us today. What does it say there? Here's the passage. See what's going on here. Our Lord speaks of himself. This is our first Pope, Peter, who says, Jesus Christ himself bore our sins in his own body on the cross. On the cross, so that you and I might be free from sin and might live under righteousness. That means the good way. For by his wounds, you and I have been healed. Every time you look at our Lord Jesus bruised, beaten up on the cross, the wounds that he has right there, it should be the reaction of your heart. I'm healed. I'm healed because of what he's done for me. That's why it's good to have a bloody Jesus. Because it reminds you and I that those bloody things that happened to him are actually for your healing and for mine. That's what our good shepherd does for us. The continuation of the passage is this. It says, "For you like sheep have gone astray, all of you. But now you have returned to the shepherd who is the guardian of your souls." Our Lord Jesus, he wants to guard not just your bodies to make sure that you don't get bruised or hurt or attacked or damaged within this life. What he wants to do is he wants to guard your souls so you can be with him forever in heaven. He takes on our sins and heals us by his passion and his death. That's why it says within the scripture passage that Deacon Marvin gave for us today, it says, "I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for you, my sheep." And you want to be good sheep, don't you? That's the image that Sister Anne and your teachers have been going over and over again with you, to be good sheep, to be God's sheep, to trust in him as your good shepherd. Why does Jesus give his life for his sheep? It's a crazy, mad thing to do. But why does our Lord do it? The secret is found within our scripture passage today, John 10:10. It's easy to remember, right? 10 and 10. John 10:10, what does it say right there? It's the last words of the gospel. Read it. What does it say there? It says, "I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." Have a fullness of life. What does that mean? It means to say this. It means to say, I want you to have more life than you yourselves know what to do with. I want you to be so strong, so taken care of, that you don't even know how to take the next step because you are so full of life that you have no idea how you could even take another step. Maybe you don't even want to take another step. You just want to stay there in the life that our Lord gives us. He does this for you, but does it change anything about how you live your life? Another question would be, well, do you have this life? Are you living out this life? Even deeper, are you thankful for the gift, or do you brush it off? We usually don't do that with our words. We do it with our actions. Our actions tell us more about what we are than what we say with our lips. Many of us, sadly, we're not grateful for what God does for us, are we? We're not grateful for it. Many of us don't care about Jesus' love. And this is why we seek every opportunity to run away from the Lord, to go astray. This is why we run away from God's gift of his grace and confession. Apparently, you first communicants are the only ones who go to confession. The rest say that they don't. At least they're being honest. But the one who's ungrateful for God's love says, I'm going to figure out my life on my own way. I'm going to figure out my sin problem by myself and see how that works. I'll do it my way. We find every excuse within our lives for not going to Mass or even to bring our children to Mass. So many of you told me that you really want to be here, but nobody will bring you. That's a sad thing because it says within the scriptures, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. For to such as these ones is given the kingdom of heaven. Isn't that an encouraging thing to think about, Ryan? The kingdom of heaven is given to somebody just like you. Just like you. Hair standing up and everything. Yeah. But we make excuses. We say, well, I'm tired. Well, I'm busy. Well, I'm going to take a vacation day from God. I've got company here, so today my company, my guests, are going to be more important than my relationship with God. So I'll do things my way. Sometimes we don't want to be identified with the Good Shepherd. And so what we do is we say when we're out in public, that beautiful cross that we wear right there, we tuck it into our shirts and hide it so nobody sees it. Sometimes what we do is when we're eating out in public, we say, well, even though we do it at home, I'm not going to pray before I eat. Because somebody might see me. They might identify me with him. I don't want that. Or we say, when I'm asked to pray in front of somebody, what I'm going to do instead is I'm not going to make the sign of the cross. Because I don't want to offend anybody. They might think that I'm identified with this guy right here. That I really believe that he died for me. And I'm Catholic. Every time we don't do those things, that's what we're saying. Every time. But yet our good shepherd, what he does for us, is he looks down from us with love from the cross. Isn't that what he always does? We talk about that, right? That he looks down with us on love from the cross, and he quotes to you and I saying the challenging words from Isaiah 5, chapter 4. What does it say there? Our Lord says it, it'll cut you to the quick if you're actually open to Jesus today. He says to you, what more could I have done for you that I haven't already done? Think about that for a moment. What more can this Jesus do for you that he's not already done for you? And yet, time after time, despite the ingratitude which we display, what does he do? He continues to give. He continues to offer himself. And maybe the reason why we don't exhibit gratefulness for what God does, want to identify ourselves with him and to stay within his pasture, is because we don't know who Jesus is. Do you know who Jesus really is? Jesus says in the scripture passage we had today that I know my sheep and my sheep know me, even as the Father knows me and I know the Father. How intimate are the Father and the Son? They're close. They're very, very close, the Father and the Son. They share everything. They share their thoughts, their desires, their hopes, their dreams, everything that passes through them, every difficulty they share with one another because they love each other. They hide nothing about themselves. Did you know that you can have the same relationship with Jesus? Share everything with him. Talk with him about those struggles and those hardships that are going on. We spoke about that last week for those who were here for the sermon, the Mass last week. Jesus and the Father are perfectly intimate. They share everything among themselves. And in fact, at the Last Supper, what did our Lord say to his disciples, his close friends? He said to his first good sheep, he said, as the Father has loved me, so I give my love to you. And as the Father is in me, and I am in the Father, so I wish that you, all of my disciples, may be perfectly united in us, the Father and the Son. The good shepherd just doesn't want to know facts about you, like you've got a good smile, or that you look real snappy when you dress in white. He wants to know the intimate things of your heart. Intimate is what our Lord desires to be with you and I. He wants you to know his abiding presence, that he won't leave you in a moment, just like the divine Trinity. He put you in the center of that. He wants you to have that abundance of life, to be with him forever, not just in the next life, some far which is distance from here, but today, even while we suffer through these dark times. And the Good Shepherd, he knows you by name. He knows you by name, even if you're not wearing your name tags like you are today. He can call you out, not in a way to harm you, but to remind you that you're important to him. His sheep recognize him, that he loves them, and he cares for them, and that they follow his voice because they've learned to rely upon him. So the soul that knows the love of Jesus Christ can say something like this, can say, Lord Jesus, you know me, and you love me. Not in some sort of abstract or distant general way, but in a concrete way. Lord, you know my needs, even before I ask of them. You comprehend my desires. You understand my life. You know my identity, which in baptism is you, Jesus. That his love and his knowledge of me is clear because he only wants my good. He wants to make my life better, more full. He wants to give me abundant life. The Good Shepherd, he wants to make me holy, which is be complete, whole, blameless in his sight. Jesus knows my name. He wants me to grow spiritually. He wants me to understand my weaknesses and my faults better, not so that he can beat me down and show me that I'm not worth anything, but so that I can overcome anything that is in my path by the strength that he gives generously to me. He never gives up on me. My Good Shepherd consoles me and encourages me along the right paths of right living, even when I fail miserably. And the reason why he holds me accountable for what I do and what I say is because he believes in me. He believes that I can become better than I am right now. Lord Jesus does that for you. When I hear the Good Shepherd call my name, I take on an attitude of a loving little sheep who recognizes the voice of the Good Shepherd and is willing to follow him always. Maybe today, if you recognize that you lack gratitude to Jesus, the Good Shepherd invites you to enter more deeply into his love, because that's all that he is love itself. If your life has been dragging or maybe less full than you know that you deserve, less than you know that you're made for, the answer is this: come back. Come back to me with all your heart. Give the Good Shepherd a chance to show you that love again, to stay within his house, which is his church. Every one of you, if you're baptized, you're home. This church is the home of everyone who's baptized. And so you're home today. That God is expecting to show you something. Are you expecting him to reveal his love to you? That no one who comes to the Lord with a good heart of trust, giving him the opportunity to love him, is ever disappointed. In fact, the only people who are ever disappointed with God's love are those who abandon the Good Shepherd themselves and say, I'd rather do it my way. And what does he say to you and I? Looking down from the cross, he says, what more could I have done for you than I've not already done? Close with Psalm 23. It was sung beautifully today during the Mass, but what does it say? Here's a prayer that's inspired by it from sometime long ago. I don't even know who did it. But it's beautiful. Listen to it and make it your own today. It'll make you have a good preparation to make your Holy Communion or to come back to him through confession. O Lord, you are my shepherd. I shall not want. You make me lie down in green pastures. You lead me over the waters of refreshment. You convert my soul and lead me back on the paths of right living. Even though I walk in the dark valleys, I shall fear nothing that is evil, because you're with me to the end. You discipline me, O Lord, and it comforts me that you care enough to do so. You feed me richly even when my enemies attack me from the left and from the right. And you take care of even my smallest needs. I cannot even realize how much good you do for me. It's overwhelming. O Lord, my Good Shepherd, what more could I do for you than you have not already done for me? What could you have given me that you have not already given? You desire to become food and drink for me in the most holy Eucharist. You've given me your body and your blood. How could I have found a better pasture than what you provide for me? Thank you for coming to me in Holy Communion. Good Lord Jesus Christ, my sweet shepherd, what return can I make to you for all the good things you have done for me? What shall I give you in exchange for the gift of yourself to me in Holy Communion? Even if I could give myself to you 1,000 times over in full, it would still be almost nothing, since I'm nothing compared with you. You are so great, and you have loved me so much and so generously, even though I'm so small, so unfaithful, and sadly so ungrateful. I know, O Lord, that your love for me is immense and infinite because you, O Lord, are immense and infinite. Please tell me, O Lord, how I ought to love you. My love, O Lord, is not generous. You deserve all my love, and so, sadly, often I hold back. Even though I can't love you as much as I should, you still accept my weak attempts at love. I can love you more when you come down and bring yourself near to me, because I'm your little sheep. I can't love you as I should, so give me your most perfect love, so that with your help, I can love you, so that I can please you, and so that I can serve you and obey all of your commands. Help me never to be separated from you by sin, so that I can be happy with you forever in heaven. I know that's why I was made. My good shepherd, I want to live united to you in love, now and always and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.